Hey guys, welcome back to Esthetician on the Edge, the podcast. In this week's episode, I'm going to talk enzyme and chemical peel, do, don'ts, and whys, and answer a question from someone who is not really a huge fan of mine. So let's go ahead and get into the show. First up, to peel or not to peel, that is the question. Got a sort of a question from someone who was nervous about doing chemical peels. She says that she does enzymes every day, all day, no problem. But peels, those chemical peels, they seem slightly terrifying to her. And I completely understand her concern. We've all seen images or heard stories about chem treatments that have gone bad with results like scars or maybe some pigment issues. It does happen, and it happens more often than you'd like to think. Maybe not to the extreme that floats around in discussion groups or if you Google an image, maybe not to that extreme. But a chemical peel can do extensive damage to the face if it is not administered, monitored, and performed properly. In school, I would say at most, you probably get to perform what, maybe three chemical peels, maybe. And that depends on the type of school that you went to. The number could be even less. You could have zero experience. Like, for instance, if your school doesn't offer peels to paying clients, then you might have only ever done one. The only opportunity that would have presented itself then would probably have been you practicing on a fellow classmate. And that is if you had downtime and you had the product available to you for your use. And I do think that that is why a lot of new estheticians and even some more seasoned estheticians are kind of scared of the whole process of a chemical peel. Now, in the programs that I taught, I can tell you, and I'm pretty sure this was for every class, maybe not the first class because we didn't have that one dialed in all the way. Sorry, guys. But I'm pretty sure that I only ever had my students administer a single peel in my intro class. It's all that we had time to do, if I'm being perfectly honest. There was just too much to learn in the 3 months that I had them with me. I typically would set aside about 2 hours, give or take, and talk very quickly about the process. I would have them set up from a supply list that I had written on the board or maybe put in a PowerPoint. And then as a group, we always did everything as a group. We would go through each step. So I would go step by step, and that's how they followed, of a 30% glycolic. And the reason I did it as a group and we went step by step with me talking them through it was because I needed to monitor their steps and know that no one was going to kill somebody on the table that day. Then what we would do, we would switch out. So the person who received a peel would then get up and start gathering their things to administer a peel. And it worked great each and every time. But like I said, we only ever had time for the one complete run through. Now, any other peel practice that they had was what they managed to do on each other in their free time when they got to clinic, because we did not go over chemical peels till almost the end of their time with me. So please don't think that you are the only esthetician out there that feels underqualified to perform a chemical peel service. We all stepped out into the licensed world and probably thought about the same thing. So to help ease the stress, let us go ahead and take that leap into some advanced exfoliation talk. And let's start that with chemical peels, since that seems to be what everyone is a little bit more terrified of. Peels, chemical peels themselves are relatively cheap. They're fast and they're effective. Very, very effective in speeding up cell turnover. And they do that by increasing the body's production of new, healthy, wonderful cells through a process called controlled injury. When pills are formulated, they are formulated to create an injury, a very specific injury at a very specific depth. And as you heal from that injury or that damage, the skin will start to show a really marked improvement, especially in texture and tone. You always want to tell people if they're getting a chemical peel, they want to do a series if they're wanting to see results from it. One is a treat, three is a treatment. Now, as an esthetician, you all know, you should know that we can only legally do a superficial peel, so what we call a light peel. Now, if you want to get a true medium depth or a deep peel, you will have to go to a doctor's office to get that done legally. Now, these peels both will give you faster and much more noticeable results. However, when you increase the depth that a chemical goes, you also increase other things like complications, things like infection, or even uneven healing. You also increase the chances of hypo or hyperpigmenting the skin. So, you know, faster is not always better in skincare. And before lasers, I don't know if you guys remember the time before lasers, but the gold standard was something called a phenol peel. Phenol peels are terrifying, like a true phenol peel. Some of them were so strong that you had to be put under for the procedure because they were that painful. Now, for the easy part of the whole process of a chemical peel, your application. It's so easy. This is the reason I'm telling you that you are ready to administer a chemical peel. I promise you are ready. A peel application and process, it is always going to be as unique as the company who formulated it. Each time you have to perform a peel from a different line, all you have to do is read the instructions in your protocol book. It is really and truly that simple to do. So you are ready to perform a chemical peel if you know how to read a standard protocol and you can follow instructions. So don't think that because you've never done X peel, that you're not ready to do X peel. You are ready to do it. Application is so easy. Now let's take, for example, a line that a lot of people use. I used to use this line myself, but the PCA peel. Let's see, the Ultra, I remember more about the Ultra peel, I believe, but it was pretty standard, lactic. I think it was lactic and a TCA combo, I think. But with the protocol, all you do, you cleanse, you do a tone, you apply the peel with your cotton gauze, you're going to wait between layers, whatever it tells you, and then you can go up to 4 layers for that one. Then after you apply that peel, you're going to apply a combination of serums. Oh my God, PCA loves their damn serums. Then you can actually apply something that is a booster. And a booster, what it does is it amps up the results. So you might have a little bit more of a peel. So if you have that client who does not think it's working, if it's not peeling, you would add the booster. And then after you add the booster, pop on some moisturizer, some SPF, and a lippy, and send them home. That's it. How simple is that? Self-neutralizing peels are the bomb, but not all peels are going to be self-neutralizing. So you want to make sure that you are reading the protocol all the way through. Now, take for instance, you can get, it's a glycolic peel from Universal Companies. And I can see the label, but I cannot for the life of me. It has a C in it. I know it has a C, but it's a white bottle. It's Control something. But there is a brand of chemical peels. I think it's a complete skincare line, but starts with Control. And they have a basic gel glycolic peel. And you apply this peel with a fan brush. A little bit thicker, stays on the skin. But you know with a gel, it takes a little bit longer for it to penetrate. So it has to sit longer than you would typically have a glycolic sitting. And then once it has processed, you remove it completely with your standard baking soda and water mixture that we all learned in school. So that peel has to be neutralized, and you want to continue to put the baking soda water mixture on until your client no longer feels any tingling, burning, or stinging at all. Otherwise, the peel is still processing, and there could be a chance that you can burn that client. Let's see, what's another peel? I just want to give you guys an idea of all the, like, they're all so different. They're all the same, but they're all kind of different. So don't feel just because you don't know all of them that you don't know any of them. You do, I promise. The V peel. How could I forget that? V-peel, VI-peel, I've heard it called like a bazillion things, but super easy to do. This was the easiest one. All you do is you cleanse the skin, and everything comes in a cool little packet. Like, it's awesome. It comes with like a little dosage cup and everything. Great. But you cleanse, and then it has a degreaser wipe in there. I think it's acetone, if I'm remembering correctly. So you would apply your acetone, and then you apply the peel with a rough gauze. Boom, you're done. That's it. You send them home with a lovely little packet of their own that is going to finish off the process. And what they do is they go home, they wait 4 hours, and then they follow the instructions in the packet, which will give them actual instructions for the next 7 days of home care. So that's pretty cool, right? And it's like, how much is a V-peel? I think we charge like $325 for them. We don't do anything. We apply. They do the work. We just apply it. Application is the easy part of a chemical peel. It is literally, if you can read and follow directions, it is a literal step-by-step. The only tricky thing about a chemical peel is knowing a safe end point. And I think that's where everybody gets super nervous. And to know your safe endpoint, you have to know about your client's skin. You have to have done a really thorough consultation. So an AHA, like glycolic and lactic, the client that you would choose for this, it's going to be more geared toward people who have fine lines, they have wrinkles, they have dark spots. So you're dealing with someone who has a lot of aging issues that they want to address. Now, there are still some benefits from those peels if you're dealing with someone who's aging and also has a bit of acne. They're still going to get results from that peel. It's still going to help their acne, just not as much as a different peel, which would be salicylic acid. Now, salicylic acid, it is our beta hydroxy acid, our BHA, and it is a beautiful, beautiful thing for super oily skin or skin that might have a lot of congestion or acne or blackheads. Works great for that. I've heard it called the Roto-Rooter of peels. And then I don't really include this specific peel in either category, but it's one of my favorites. It's a Jesner peel. Now, to me, I consider that kind of a hybrid peel because it is a super happy mix of AHAs and BHAs and phytic acids. And it is usually a great go-to for people that tend to have more reactive skin or more sensitized skin or someone who's newer into the game of skincare. Because a Jesner peel, not only is it going to help their skin look better, brighter, tighter, it is going to also help calm inflammation, but still provide all of the benefits that your client is looking for in a great peel service. And they're a great option for almost any client. I think I have peeled every fits with a Jesner's peel. Pretty sure I have. Now, with all of that being said, you do have to know your own client. You have to do a client consultation. You have to be very thorough to determine which peel is going to be safest for your client's skin. Now, whatever line that you're using as far as your chem treatments, you should receive a guide that tells you the formulation, the layers you can work up to, the time it should be on the skin. It should also tell you if it does require neutralization, and it will also kind of give you a rough estimate of the recommended client skin type or skin tone that you should be using it on. Typically, a fits 1 through 3, you can do pretty much any peel on them as long as there's no allergies present, and there's very little danger of that group, fits 1 through 3, of hypo or hyperpigmenting. But when you're dealing with a fits 4 through fits 6, you gotta be a little more cautious. Not only is there more melanin present, but those higher fitses, they usually have a thicker, sometimes a little bit oilier skin than the lower fits types. I think that's one of the reasons that they just don't age as much as the lower fits types. Now, this can cause a whole host of issues when you're administering a chem treatment. You can have things like uneven peel penetration because of the thicker, oilier skin. You definitely, definitely can have hyperpigmenting and hypopigmenting from chemical peeling. But that does not mean that you can't peel a higher fit. So you absolutely can peel a 4 through 6. You just got to make sure that there are no contraindications, no medications, no history of keloiding, and that you've chosen the correct peel for them. My suggestion as an esthetician would be to always start them out with a lower percentage, something like a glycolic or a lactic to start. Those are always safe bets, especially if this person happens to be new to skincare or they've had issues in the past with pigmenting or they're someone who does not have a good home care regimen set up. That's the best way to do it. And to be perfectly honest, I would start them out if they were a new client to me, even if they had a history of actually getting a little bit of a higher percentage peel. I would always err on the side of caution the first time that they are on my table. Now, while a peel is processing, again, depending on the peel formulation, you always want to make sure that you're monitoring the skin for red flags, things that shouldn't be there. Redness and burning or stinging, all of that is completely normal. It's a chemical peel. It's taking your pH from up here and slamming it way down. So, of course, there's going to be some irritation. For a peel that contains salicylic acid, frosting is very, very normal and nothing to be scared of. It is simply, salicylic acid produces a salt, and that is just a residue, that salt residue that you see forming on top of the skin. A true frost from salicylic, it'll come off when you touch it. It kind of dissipates. Now, what people should be scared of is something called blanching. Blanching, totally different, but it does look a lot like frosting at first glance. Now, blanching means that a peel has gone deeper than it probably should, especially if you're using a light peel. And this can happen for a multitude of reasons. It doesn't mean that it's anything that you've done. It's probably not anything that you've done. Blanching is basically a burn. It is really common on the prominence of the cheeks near the eyes and in the recesses of the chin around the mouth, like the corners of the mouth. Blanching can happen. Your client will definitely see peeling. They're going to peel in the area that has blanched. That is a guarantee. They're going to have some peeling. Now, if you were in a medical spa setting and you were trying to do like a medium depth or even a deep peel, blanching is goals. That's what you want. You want to see blanching because the wider the blanch, the deeper the peel has gone. And that means that you're going to get more peeling and therefore you're going to experience more results, more very, very noticeable results from that peel. But I don't want you guys to think that is the end of the world if your client blanches when you apply your little glycolic peel. It's not the end of the world. Just don't apply more peel over it. It's that simple. If you see blanching, don't go balls to the wall and apply another layer. Don't do it. Stop where you're at. It's okay. Don't lose your mind. Remember, the thinner the skin, the greater the chance that it will occur. If you know what it is, you can be calm about it. Remember, it's okay. Take a deep breath, unclench your asshole, and simply tell your client by touching the spots that you're seeing that they will see a bit more peeling here, here, and here. And remember not to pick it, or they can cause pigmentation issues. And then if it really bothers them, then they can put an occlusive on it, something like an Aquaphor. Now, within 24 hours, new skin will be over it and it's not an issue. Move on. They will be fine as long as they listen and follow your directions, which is another aspect of good peel results. Does your client listen? You have to drill into your client's head the importance of having their skin. For one, they have to be prepped before their peel by using good quality products each and every time they're washing their face. Using sunscreen and lightening agents, it's a game changer for any kind of chemical peel treatment. But this helps hasten the process of lightening if they're doing these sorts of things weeks before their peel. Now, post-care, it is another important factor in getting good results from a peel. Product usage is extremely important, as is not picking and not doing all kinds of extra shit after a peel, like scrubbing to get off the skin or using their little tinkles, and they have to stay out of the sun. You gotta hammer that into them. Like, they're going to cause more damage if they go out into the sun. If your client complains about results, always, always ask them to walk you through their daily aftercare. So if you have a client that comes in and says, you know what, I think my spots have gotten darker, then go, oh gosh, I hate that. So let's make sure that doesn't happen again. Tell me, after you went home, what did you do for the next 7 days? Like, how did you take care of your skin? I can guarantee they did something that they were not supposed to do, or they didn't do something that they were supposed to do, like wear their damn sunscreen. That's usually what it is. They get into their car, they don't have their sunscreen on, and they drive for their hour commute, and then they end up with a lovely dark spot on their left side. Compliant clients will always have the best results, no matter the procedure that you're performing. Now, I will suggest that you print out a little aftercare card for clients to take home after a service, especially a chemical peel. I've seen some super cute ones online. List what they should do routine-wise and what is normal as far as redness and swelling, because they're going to be a little concerned anyway. So if you just take care of that in the beginning, you won't have to deal with the text and the phone calls later. That is chemical peels. See, they're not terrifying. You just have to know what to look for. All right, let's move on to enzymes. Now, enzymes to me, they are like a gateway drug into the world of advanced exfoliation. You have a lot more wiggle room when you are using them in treatments. You have so many options, like a ridiculous amount of options when it comes to enzymes. What is an enzyme? An enzyme basically unglues the bonds between dead skin cells, and this causes that dead skin to slough off at a much quicker rate than it typically would. Now, the magic, and it is so magical, part of an enzyme, and the reason that enzymes are suggested for more sensitive clients, it's pure fun chemistry. Are you ready? Let me explain. An enzyme, in essence, acts as a catalyst to a reaction. Well, that was a lot, right? Okay, in the case of skincare, what it does, it hastens the shed process. Now, most chemicals that act as a catalyst, when they become this catalyst in a chemical reaction, they themselves are consumed in the process by the reaction that they have caused. Now, when they are consumed, it releases heat. Now, what I want you to make this easier, what I want you to do is think of a detonator or dynamite. Let's think of dynamite. Dynamite is the catalyst to an explosion, but the dynamite itself is consumed in the reaction that it has caused, hence creating all of that heat. But not enzymes. Enzymes are not destroyed in the process that they helped create. So no heat is released. Therefore, there is less chance of an adverse reaction in a reactive or sensitized client. So enzymes are basically badasses. They're the people that you see walking away from the explosion that don't look back. That's an enzyme. Okay, now remember I said that you had a ton of options in enzymes. You have too many. Things like papaya, blueberry, pumpkin, pineapple, all the peas are covered, lemon. There's so many, so many. I think there's like cherry. I think there's a cherry one if I'm not mistaken. But you have a lot. And the use and application of an enzyme is really no different than a chemical peel. It's all going to be based on the manufacturer. So you're going to want to grab your protocol and read how to utilize your enzyme. Depending on the company, you could apply exactly where you would expect an exfoliant to go. Or you can use it as a massage medium instead of a massage cream. Or you could use the enzymes at the end of the service as a mask before you actually put on your finishing products. There's a ton of places to use enzymes. A lot of clients do prefer an enzyme treatment because after an enzyme, you can usually continue on with a much more relaxing service than you can a chemical peel. For instance, I have an enzyme treatment that I do and it costs around, I think, I want to say 200, might be a little bit more than 200. And it includes a light manual exfoliation that I do, and then an enzyme as part of it. And it also has a dermaplane in that same treatment. And then when I finish all of the, you know, I call it the action. When I finish all of the action, all of the other components are there of a European, like a classic European facial that clients absolutely love. They still get the massage. They get all the masks. They get the cold rollers. They get the trap work. They get the hand and arm massage. They love it. It's my best selling facial. Clients leave absolutely glowing at the end of the service and they got to take a nap. So win-win. But I do have a quickie that is just a very mild enzyme and a dermaplane. It takes 30 minutes and I think it costs like $100. And that's for my people who don't like that high touch quite as much. That would be me. That would be something that I would be drawn to over people rubbing all over me. Now, just because an enzyme doesn't release heat, don't think that it's super, super gentle. That does not mean that an enzyme won't tingle and it won't burn. They do, especially if they are formulated with other acids. And a lot of them are formulated with a milder acid like a lactic. Some of them even have glycolic in them. So you always want to check your formulation before, you know, you put it on a client expecting them not to react and then they come up off your table because it burns. An old school true enzyme, it usually comes in like a powder form and you have to mix it. Sometimes the companies will send a formulation that you mix with it that's kind of like a toner, and sometimes you just mix it with water. And usually the old school enzymes, they smell a lot like a wet dog, so not pleasant. And it does start to dry after application. And a client usually with those, they never feel a single thing. They feel nothing, nothing at all. They just know something's on their skin because it gets a little bit tighter. But a true enzyme, like old school enzymes, I don't care what anybody says, it can work a miracle in 7 minutes. And I know it's hard to believe because if you're like me, if it doesn't tingle, I don't feel like it's working, but it does. One of my favorite powdered enzymes is from a brand called 2L. They're also the people that make Baraden Wax, I believe. It is super cheap. It lasts forever. You get a tub, a literal tub of it, and it makes your pores after you take it off. They look microscopic. Like it sucks those pores down to where you can't see them. Clients love that shit. But if you get it, don't follow the directions on the tub, or at least my tub has the wrong directions on it because they have listed way too much water on the instructions. So just mix by eye, like just put a little bit in, mix, and then when you get the consistency you like, slap it on somebody's skin. Skin Scribs, they do a wonderful, I think they have great blended enzyme selections available. They have a lot. They also have educational videos on their website that talks about how to position enzymes to a client and how to utilize enzymes in a service. And it's really, really informative, especially if you're a new esthetician and you're nervous about doing advanced exfoliation. So if you're looking to bring on some enzymes, I would say that would probably be a really good place to start because they do have a lot to choose from at all different strengths. But I do feel that they are a blended enzyme, so you want to check. You're going to get tingle from these, you are. So you want to just check and make sure that the ingredients are something that you want. Just remember, even with an enzyme, you still have to monitor your client. You still have to do a proper consultation to make sure everything's kosher. You would not want to put an enzyme on someone who had an allergy to pineapples or to pumpkin because death would be imminent because most enzymes have at least pumpkin. Well, they have at least like papaya in them. So you always want to check, make sure. I would also suggest for the sake of your own sanity, if you are terrified of the peel process, is to recruit coworkers and friends as your guinea pigs, people that you can practice on. You also need to experience the peel on yourself. Like, all of them, all of the enzymes, even if it does not go with your skin type, you need to know what it feels like. Most employers, they're going to allow you a service for free if you need to practice, especially if you've never worked with that particular brand. Now, when you're doing a peel on your little guinea pigs, you want to treat it just like a classroom experience. Talk to your test subject. throughout the whole process. It's not for them to relax. It's for you to learn. That's something you need to make abundantly clear. You want to get a feel for what their tingle or their burn is with each layer. I always tell clients, so on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being you barely feel it and 10 being you're going to punch me at any second, where are you? So you want to give them scale. Look at the skin, see how red or how frosted it gets. Talk to your client if you notice something is changing. If you see frost suddenly appear, say, hey, how do you feel here? And touch the part where there is blanching or frost and see if it's a little bit more sensitive. You want to try different application methods. Is a brush better for you than cotton? Should you dispense ahead of time or should you just work out of the bottle? All those things are something you need to know. You want to then afterwards track their inflammation, track the sloughing or the peeling off process. Did they stay red for 24 hours, 12 hours, maybe just 8 hours? Did they even get red at all? Did they start peeling on day 3? Did they peel for 6 days, 7 days? Did they peel none at all? All of these things are so important to know before working on a client, because all of those things I just said are questions that clients ask before, during, and after a chem treatment service. So you need to know the answers. And I am fully aware that it's not always going to be the same for every client, but you can pretty much confidently ballpark an answer and sound like you know what the hell you're talking about. And when you have confidence in what you're doing, it builds the client's confidence in you as their service provider. Yeah, so that is advanced exfoliation. I don't know. I love all things enzymes. I love all things chemical peels. Sometimes things do go south and sideways, but that's going to happen occasionally. You just have to learn how to deal with it. Make sure you're being safe. Make sure your client is filling out the appropriate paperwork to cover your butt. Ask your questions in consultation, even if you have that client intake form, because sometimes, you know, they don't write it down. And I think you'll be fine. So take the leap. If you're scared of a chemical peel, start out with a nice, gentle one and go from there. All right, in the next segment, I wanted to talk about a direct message I got. It's been a while back, but it is still kind of relevant to today, so what the hell? I figured I would go over it. But a follower, I guess they follow. Maybe they don't. They did not seem very happy with me, so they might have used to follow, now don't follow. I don't know. But anyway, somehow, some way, this person stumbled onto an old episode of the podcast. I think is where I talk about how growth in the industry isn't sustainable as it's building right now for everyone. And she did not agree, not even a tiny little bit. And she told me that there were enough clients for everyone and that we should all support each other and lift each other up and quit trying to take everybody's clients. Blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm not going to blow kumbaya bubbles up your asses. The rate that schools are churning out new estheticians far, far outpaces the number of available sustainable jobs. That is just facts. And the numbers, they've probably, I would say, gotten worse with COVID, because schools are still churning out estheticians every 3, 6, 9, and 12 months. They're remote learning estheticians now because a lot of the schools are still closed, but they're still graduating them out just like they were before. If there were enough clients like this pissed off person told me, the rate of estheticians leaving the business wouldn't be somewhere around 44% the first year that they are in the industry. It is very hard to make enough money to support yourself when you get into this field of work. It's even hard when you find yourself in need of changing jobs unless you're bringing all of your clients with you. My first year out as an esthetician, I'm telling you right now, I'd have thrown in the towel quickly, really quickly, if I had not been married and had that extra income to fall back on. And it was still fucking hard. I would say that first year, and I'm not exaggerating this at all, not even a little bit, I might have made $15,000 that first year. And granted, it was 2008, but that's still not any fucking money. That's coming from making $60,000 to $65,000 a year just from serving. That was a huge, huge, huge hit for my family. And the guilt of putting my family into that situation, the situation that we found ourselves in, where now I'm making like $45,000 less a year. God, it was awful. And I found myself like going through the classified ads on Craigslist looking for a quote unquote real job, because that's what everyone was telling me I needed to do. And to give you perspective, even when I moved on from the last job I had and into working for myself, being a solo Estee, yeah, I did take quite a few clients with me, but I didn't take them all. And it's hard not to take them all, because you do get used to having a certain amount of clients, knowing that that money is going to come in. I mean, clients, they love you until you leave, and then they simply learn to love the new esthetician, because there's a reason they were in that location to begin with. The location was convenient for them. Clients are fickle creatures. I'm not going to rehash the numbers and statistics from that episode that she found it all in. If you're interested, you know, just scroll back through. I'm sure you can find it pretty quickly. I'm just telling you, without the numbers, what I see and what I hear daily, and the sort of DMs and emails that I get from estheticians asking for advice on how to make money in this industry, how to get the longevity that I have in the industry, or just how to stay busy. Some of them even want to know how to get a single client on their table more than one time, or to make that client come in like they're supposed to come in. We are all in competition with another, and that is just how it is. Well, you're in competition, you know, if you're within proximity. I'm not in competition with somebody from California, but you get what I'm saying. If you don't think that every esthetician in your area is your competition, then this is what I want you to do. I encourage you to lift up your fellow esthetician that is in the room right next to you and who needs to make money too, and go onto your own Instagram page or TikTok or Facebook or whatever you use to promote your own business. And I want you to give shout outs to every single esthetician in your area who does the same thing that you do. And it would be even better if their prices were cheaper than yours. Go ahead, give them a shout out. Go ahead. Because you're not competition. You're here to lift each other up. There's enough clients for everyone, right? There's not. There isn't. Sorry. It is very easy for estheticians who have built their books and are literally booked out 6 months to say that there are enough clients. Because from where you're sitting, there are enough clients. But that is just not true. You are in a bubble, and it's a beautiful bubble, and I wish you well in it, and I hope you keep doing it. But for every single one of you that are booked out till 6 months or 9 months or next year or even 3 months, there are 10 stylists or Estes who aren't even booked out for today. They have no clue how they're going to pay their rent on Monday. And in our competition, it isn't even just us. It isn't even just you and your salon, or you and your room, or you and your spa. It's the chains. It's the chain places. And they can undercut us so easily price-wise. And they usually always have an opening for that last-minute client, that client that gets on your nerves, who never remembers to book. That client's probably going to end up at a place, well, like a chain place. And if they have a good experience there, you might not ever see them again at your place. Now, I do want us all to do well in this industry. I do. And if I can lift you up, I would love to lift you up. But we are all competition. I want to be able to go into my room each day that I'm open. I want to be able to do enough business that I can pay my taxes. I can still bank a decent income for myself and my family and not have to worry about paying my rent each week. And I want the same thing for you. I want us all to do well. But I am a realist, and I know that that is not going to happen for everyone because there's not enough fucking clients. And the more chain places that continue to pop up, the harder it is going to be for any of us to find clients. Clients, like I said, they're fickle creatures and they love those deals. They like the convenience of being able to call last minute and book a set of cheap lashes or get that $30 Brazilian done. So to the person who sent me that direct message, I am not going to change my mind. I still believe that there are not enough clients for all of us. I think the industry is growing way quicker than anyone thought it would. I think that a lot of people see aesthetics as a chance to start a career or even a second or third career as they get older because they don't quite know what aesthetics is and how hard it is to build and how hard it is on the body and some of the bullshit that we put up with. So yeah, I feel like estheticians are outpacing clients at this juncture. And coming off of COVID, a lot of people have started doing their stuff at home and they've learned that they can go 6 months without a brow wax, or they can wait that extra month to get their Brazilian, or they've decided that they don't want to get a Brazilian at all, you know? So no, I'm not going to change my mind. When maybe if I stop getting DMs from people who are quitting the industry because they don't have any money coming in, and they're like days from shutting down their room, maybe then I'll change my mind. Yeah, there's not enough clients. Sorry, I upset you by being honest. I don't spin fairy tales on this podcast. Not going to ever. So yeah, that's how I feel about that. Okay, our Pam of the Week is brought to you by a fellow Southerner who did not give me permission to use her name yet. So I'm going to err on the side of caution, but hey, if you hear this, my friend, and you want to claim your story, let me know and I'll give you a shout out on the account. She says, I had a girl come in to me with severe acne. She was a young girl, about 19, who said she had auditions. And she says that she lives in Nashville. She settles into my room and she is questioning everything. The music, the light from the mag lamp, everything bothered her. Now, I do my classic acne treatment. It's a little tingly. When she asks me what is in it, I tell her it's a blend of salicylic, lactic, and glycolic acids. To which she informs me that her guru said she shouldn't be using anything that had glycolic acid and that she should always write with a purple pen. And our esthetician says, did her guru go to aesthetic school? No. She complained about her service to my boss afterward, but has continued to come back to me every 4 weeks for 3 years. Every service she has, she complains, claiming the one before leaves her glowing, but the most recent one that I did has her all dried up. And I have done the exact same treatment on her every single time. I saw her after the last complaint, and she points to the corners of her mouth and says that the last treatment dried up her mouth and her eyes. And then she asked me if I got it in her eyes. She would kind of know, don't you think? Our esthetician says, I tell her that our treatment does not give her angular colitis and to stop licking the corners of her mouth. I tried to fire her, but she refuses to be fired. And she has said she has every intention on seeing me again. And around we go. That's a tough one. I don't know. I might just sit her down and say, look, it's not you, it's me. Just to get rid of her at this point. Okay, that is all the time that we have for today. If you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, please send me an email at estheticiantheedge@yahoo.com. Thank you guys for listening. And as always, wishing you a Pam-free week. See you next show.